Father, we thank you for what you're doing. And you, again, you're doing things constantly, God. You do not have an off button. You don't have a rest button, God. You are about the Father's business from the right hand of the Father. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that's active here on the earth, God. And Lord, we just thank you so much that you take this message today, God, and you use it to destroy the works and the plans and the lies of the enemy in our lives, and that you be glorified in all of it. Everybody say, in Jesus' name,
Jesus.
Amen. Several years ago, I read a book. It's kind of a secular book, but it's a book on leadership by Simon Sinek called Understand or Know Your Why. And it radically changed the way I approach a lot of things that I approach now in life, because we were always taught, what are we doing? What? Answer the what. But it's not so much about what needs to be done, but when you understand your why you are doing what you're doing, then people tend to buy in a little more when they understand the why. It's like you can work at a place, they say, here, punch this part out or do this or do this. Well, you do it. That's what you do. But when they understand why you're doing this, that it produces it and it's the shortest way and it's most efficient and it makes you more money and you get more profit sharing of why we do it this way. Right. Now you tend to maybe want to work a little bit more cautiously and a little bit more ump in it when you understand the why behind something. And so based on that, I'm not preaching on you today on understanding your whys. Because I think what I've got to do is I've got to back it up a little bit. And for you to understand your whys, you need to understand the why not before you can understand the why sometimes, especially when it comes to the things of God. So today I want to give you a list real quick. It's not going to be on the screen, but it's just kind of a random list the Lord popped into me. But, you know, people say, why are you doing that? And a lot of the questions, especially if you're a teenager, the answer is, I don't know. Why do you have the cat stretched out by its four legs? And, you know, I don't know. This cat was like this when we walked in. But anyway, you know, why are you going there? Well, why? And so here's some of the why questions we get, especially when it involves the kingdom of God. Number one, why get saved? I mean, really? Why go to church? Why get baptized? Why do I need to join a life group? Why should I even bother praying? Why should I really get into worship? I mean, why should I lift my hands? Why should I serve? Why do y'all do Wednesday nights too? Why? Why do you tell me I need to go through freedom? Why? Why should I witness and tell people about Jesus? And for God's sake, why do you want me to give money and tithe and give to charities and give to other people that are less needy? Or more needy than I am. Why? And we just have to ask this one. Why in the world do I need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak with another language? Why? Tell me why. Why should I do all that shout and dance and praising God? And again, I think before you can understand the why, you got to face and address the why nots in this. And that's where we're going to go today. Today, I'm going to ask you about your why nots. So go ahead and put up the first note. And it's all hinged on this today. Why not? Everybody say, why not? Why not be an authentic Christian and live an authentic Christian life? Why not? Why can we not produce, as a Christian, what God's Word tells us to produce? And if we're not doing that, there has to be a why we're not able to do it. I don't know, it's going to get real in here today. Everybody say real. Now, let me make sure you understand something before we get started. Go ahead and put up the next note. Every single born-again Christian, or excuse me, just every person, whether they're born again or not, every person is presented with a choice to believe the truth about Jesus as God's Son and our Savior or reject Him.
Amen.
Now, a lot of people say, well, the Bible ain't been preached everywhere. And you would be correct, not yet. We're getting close. Amen. Well, there's some people that didn't get brought up in it, so they don't have... Oh, nay. Now, let me show you something that's in the Bible that a lot of people don't realize it's actually in there. And the reason they don't realize it's in there is they really don't like to face this scripture. And it's in one of the more popular books of the New Testament. It's in the book of Romans, of all books. It's right there in Romans chapter 1. We're going to be reading out of verse 18 through verse 23 to begin with. Then we're going to drop down a couple of verses, okay? So let's go ahead and read this. Just put up the first verse and leave it up till I call for the second one. The very first thing it says is, but God shows his what? Now that flips some people out right there. No, God's all loving and God's all kind and God's just sweet. Sweet Jesus gets angry. Not for anything. Yes, he does whip. He loves. If you're getting a whipping from God, it's because he loves you. Just like parents are supposed to do our kids. But when God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who do what? Who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Now, we're going to say something here together on the count of three. I want you to say, they know. One, two, three. They know. I want you to say it real loud. One, two, three. They know. They know. Now, point to your neighbor and say, you're a they. All right. Look at the very first two words of the next verse. They know. They know the truth about God because it has made it obvious to them. God's made it obvious. And you may ask how. So let's go on. Next verse. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature. Now watch this. So they have, say that with me, no excuse for not knowing God. Woo! Leave that up there. Let that roast your rheostats. Let it put a splatter in your bladder this morning. Amen? Are y'all seeing him? I see him. Get out of here. Devil will use anything to distract us. But do you see? That's in the Bible. That's the word of God, that his anger is towards sinful people who practice wickedness to deceive others. And he says, you see the earth, you see the sky, you see everything of creation. And the Bible says, all creation cries out that there's a God. So you can have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, but God gave everyone the intelligence to look around and see, this was a creation, there has to be a creator. So no one has an excuse to say, well, I don't know. If you've seen out, if you see in this, you know. Turn to your neighbor and say, you know. They know this. I love y'all. Go on to the next verse. Yes, they knew God, but watch this, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. Man, how many people you know like that? Don't even give him a thank you. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Who is the author of confusion, church? Satan is the author of confusion. Come on. I'm telling you, I've told a few people this over the last couple of weeks. We are living in a time in our nation where we're seeing a scripture fulfilled over the last 5, 6, 7 years. It really has been working on, but it's really come to prominence over the last 4 years of people who have turned themselves over to a reprobate mind. Where you can present them the absolute truth, they know it's true with their intellect, but because of the retrobate mind will not allow them to receive a truth. They will deny it. If I tell them, this is a DeSanti bottle of water, opened it a little bit, drank, they will look at it and go, well, yeah, it's true, but I don't want to receive that truth. That's not my truth. That is not. And they know it is. They know. They know. They know. They know, but they'll never admit it. And they'll do everything they can to destroy the image that this bottle of water is to present. Because then they become confused, least to say. Next verse, verse 22. Claiming to be wise, leave this up there. Claiming to be wise, they instead become utter fools. Well, I have studied psychology 8 years at Harvard or Yale, and I have a PhD in why craned legs go up like this on the right side. Therefore, my intellect is too much to believe that there's this God out there that I must bow to. Because I am such a smart person. Matter of fact, you are beneath me, so I need to tell you that your God is not real. And you're believing in fairy tales. I am so intellect. Look at me. I am elite. You are just a redneck. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. Because only a fool would say in his heart, there is no God. Bible. Next verse. And instead of worshiping the gracious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds, animals, and reptiles. What are we seeing now in our nation? Oh, she gets on the stage and gets naked and sings. Wow, worship. Oh, wow, look at him. He's been with every woman in Hollywood. Worship. Worship that person. Oh, look at him. He can score 4 touchdowns in 1 game. Worship. Now, there's nothing wrong with having people that you see entertainment, but when it's ungodly and you're putting them above God, you got a problem. I love Alabama football, but it makes a lousy God. And therefore, I don't let it take the place of God. Amen? Amen? But we're living in a time where we worship other people. Why? Because we want to be like them, it puts them on the same level as us. And then especially in America, and I'm fixing to make some of you probably mad here, we worship animals now. Other countries eat them all. Other countries eat cats. Cats in the kittle at the Fu Manchu. Oh. Somebody invite the Holy Ghost back. I think I just run him off. Other countries eat dog. Horse, camel, goat, chicken. We worship them. No, I'm an animal person. I love animals. They're good companions, and they need work to do, and they protect and stuff. But listen, they're not human. Please come back. Don't get mad and leave. But we have animal activists now that are trying to protect the life of an animal over the life of a person. You have to be turned over to a reprobate mind to think that the animal kingdom is equal to the human kingdom. I love you too much not to tell you the truth. But see, if you're one of those you're already mad at me, check your reprobate mind. Yeah, let me say it again. If you're one of those that got mad at me, check your reprobate mind. Amen? So look at some of the reasons why people don't, why not. They're why nots about coming to Christ and coming to the fullness of the kingdom of God. And here's just a few of them. There are a ton of them when I looked them up, but here's some of the top ones. Well, you know, I know him. They knew, but they didn't worship him. They knew, but they made idols in their own image and worshiped animals. They knew too. But everybody in the South knows Jesus. It is hard to find somebody that says, you know what, I don't believe in Jesus, I'm lost and undone. They may not tell you they're saved, but you know, me and God got our own thing going on. Well, you don't have your own thing going on with God until it becomes by his way. I'm sorry if it were that easy. I'd get up here and preach that, but that's not the truth. If you got it going on God's way, it means you've surrendered your life to Christ. You live for him. You get baptized, and you do the things that the Word tells you to do. Why wouldn't you if you're a Christian? Why not live an authentic Christian life if you're really a Christian? Now, that's one of them. Another one is, why not come to the fullness of God and his kingdom is, I won't be cool anymore with my friends. Well, you better enjoy your coolness while you're here, because you're going to be real hot later on. If you let your friends keep you from heaven, you don't have friends. That's worth a flip. Well, I'll just have to give up too much fun stuff that we call sin. I'm not ready to give that up yet. I mean, I'm not ready to settle down. Dear Jesus, you are 44 years old. your 50s, you're in your 60s. It's time to settle down. Come on. Always a why not. And when you understand your why nots will not stand in the judgment day of God, you need to get rid of your why nots. Because that's not going to stand on judgment day. And you need to understand something when you have a why not about God and His Word. Put up the next note. There's a consequences to not giving your life to Jesus. There is a consequence when you don't come to Christ and live that authentic life. And can I tell you, I can break it the whole thing down into two words. The consequence in two words of not becoming a follower of Jesus Christ and giving your life to Him is called eternal damnation. Amen. Too complicated, I'll give it to you in one word. Hell. That's the consequence. Of all your excuses, of all your why not and why not and why not, that's the consequences of it. Eternal damnation in hell. Somebody needs to wake America up and tell them the truth. Because you got all your excuses and they're viable to you. I mean, good grief, it's you after all. And you think, most people think they're going to heaven when they die. Now, I was a big Elvis fan. Elvis had a profession of faith, but he didn't really live it out a lot of his years. Now, some people said, I don't know. But his daughter that died, Lisa Marie, never professed faith, made fun of Christians. But do you know what everybody says at her funeral? Oh, she's in a much better place now. We're just happy she's going on in to be with God. If she didn't have a bedside confession, let me tell you where Lisa Marie's at right now. Eternal damnation in hell. You can't wish somebody into heaven. I can't preach them into heaven. Come on. The only way you will get there is if you are a born-again believer of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's no other way. Not going to happen. Now let's drop down real quickly to Romans chapter 1, verse 28 through 32. Same chapter of Romans. This is in the Bible. Now watch this. Since they thought it foolishness to acknowledge God, here's what God did. He abandoned them to their foolish thinking, reprobate minds, and let them do things they should never be done. Got a whole class of people doing that now. Next verse. Their lives became full of, watch this, every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior. And I have y'all thinking, boy, them some horrible people. That list is horrible, but now watch this. Gossip. How many of y'all just made the list? Now, I'll just go look at your social media page and see if you're on that list. Next verse says, they are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, which means rude and disrespectful, proud and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning. Now watch this, all you that's still living under your parents' authority, they disobey their parents. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church. Now let me take just a moment to explain to you disobeying parents. It means what it says, you disobey your parents. But parents need to understand something. Once your child leaves home and begins their own family, they're to honor you, but if you tell them something stupid, they don't have to obey you. They don't have to obey. My two oldest do not have to obey me. They have to honor me. But if I tell them, hey, I want you to start doing this and this and this and this and this and this and be here and do this, and you're going to spend every Christmas and Thanksgiving holiday with our place, they like to look at me and say, no, we love you, we honor you, but our family needs to do this. And some of you parents need to hear that. But while you're under their roof and under their care, you're under their, I don't care how old you are. You're 26 years old and still in your parents' basement, you do what they say. Amen. Amen. That's Bible. Verse 31. They refuse to understand. Now leave verse 31 up. Break their promises. They are heartless, and they have no mercy. And that describes a lot of people in power. This whole list really describes a lot of what's going on in Washington, D.C. and politics in Montgomery here in Alabama. Come on, say they know.
They know.
They know. They know. Next verse. They know. It's not like they don't know. They know. Verse 32 says, they know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die. Yet they do them anyway, and worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. Ain't nothing like going to hell with a whole bunch of people. Ain't nothing like suffering through sin while you're down here. Gather up a bunch to suffer with you. Bring people into your sin. Let me tell you, one of the easiest and fastest ways to bring people into your sin is gossip. It's gossip. Because if you had to toe them, they wouldn't have heard. But you just gotta tell the juicy news. And you gotta bring them into your offense and sin. Somebody say, we know. They know. They know there's a God. They know how they're supposed to be acting. They know there's a punishment, but yet they continue on anyway. And they encourage others to come along for the ride. So why not, if you know today, why not do the right thing for you? Let's quit talking about they. Let's make it me and I today. I know. I know the truth from a lie. I know there's a God. I know there's a punishment for sin. I know there's consequences. I know there's a heaven and I know there's a hell. And God is such a loving God, he lets me choose how I want to live on earth and eternity. But you can't say you don't know today, because you know. So I want to go back through that list with the Christian excuses of their why nots. Why not get saved? Well, I mean, I do good, and I help take care of this, you know, my neighbor, and I'm a good person. I do a lot of good stuff. I donate down to the food kitchen every once in a while, too. I ought to make it on my merit. Yeah. That's the excuse. That's the why not get saved. Why not go to church? Oh, I don't need church. I don't need church to be saved anyway. Doesn't say in the Bible you got to go to church anyway. You don't know your Bible. Amen. Now, it's one thing if you can't attend church. It's another thing when you refuse God's word. Because you know. If you don't, hang on, you don't know here in a minute. Why not get baptized? Well, I mean, I just don't feel like that. I mean, if me and God got our own thing going on, I just don't feel that's a necessary thing for me. I don't like water. I don't like getting up in front of people. Why not join a life group? I don't have time, and I don't like some of these people, and I just don't do good in the crowd. Well, why not pray? Well, I just feel like it's a waste of time, and I really don't know what to say anyway. I just don't feel like it's that important and makes that big of a difference. I mean, I tried it once. It didn't work. Well, why not worship? Well, I just don't think, you know, you need to be showing your emotions and stuff. I just don't think it's a time for that. I mean, and I've had a bad week anyway. Well, why don't you lift your hand? I'm not charismatic. That's not in the Bible anyway. Why serve? Why should I? I want people to serve me. How about somebody serve me for a change? I mean, I want a place to go. If I do go to church, I want people there serving, but I don't ask me to do it. I mean, I got kids. I expect a children's church. Oh, no, I can't help. I want good worship. No, I won't commit. It's not in the Bible anyway. Why go to Wednesday service? I mean, my gosh, that ain't in the Bible either. Why go through freedom? Why do I want to go in there and share some of my stuff with people I don't even hardly know? I ain't doing that. I'm going to keep it to myself. Good luck with that. Why witness and tell people about Jesus? I mean, nobody wants to hear that where I work. Nobody wants to. I mean, my gosh, come on. And I'm not. It's not really my personality, and that ain't in the Bible. Why tithe and give? All y'all do is want my money. It's all church. That's all that preacher preaches on. I've preached 2 sermons in 25 years on tithing at this church. Two. Why not be baptized with the Holy Spirit like in Acts chapter 2 and speak in tongues and have all these gifts of shouting and dancing and praying? Because I'm not Pentecostal. That's for those nut jobs. And I'm not crazy. All the why nots to all the things that's in the Bible. And most of them, they're going to say, well, that ain't in the Bible anyway. Now, let me go back through that list and give you the benefits of being authentic with God. Why get saved? So you don't spend eternity in hell. Amen. You must be born again. Why go to church? Because it commands us to in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Do not forsake the assembling of God, as so many are in the habit of doing. The word assembly is the word ekklesia. The word ekklesia is the word we get for church. Other translations, the more modern translations, do not neglect your church meetings, as some are already doing. Know your Bible, it'll bless you. So what's your excuse? Well, not y'all, but anyway, y'all are here. There's a whole bunch that don't. Why get baptized? Oh, I don't know, Bob, because you got saved, you read your Bible, and you know that's your next step. And the Lord commands us to be baptized. And maybe it's a big outward appearance and things come on you in your baptism if you get everything God wants you to have. I don't know, just it's in the Bible. Why join a life group? Because that's in the Bible. Acts 20:20. We not only taught you in the synagogues, but we went from house to house.
That's right.
It's in the Bible. They met in the synagogue for preaching and teaching, and then they met house to house for discipleship and equipping. They met in small groups. That's more biblical than Sunday school. Where'd I get to? Okay. And you might just meet your next best friend.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Why pray? Because God says so.
Yes.
Pray, seek the Lord. I tell you how you'll never get an answered prayer. Don't ever pray. Guaranteed success every time. Why worship? Because he's worthy.
Amen.
He tells us to worship.
Yes.
He tells us how to worship in truth and in spirit. And which leads me to the next one. Well, why you got to lift them hands? Because the Bible says, I would that men everywhere would stand lifting up holy hands. Lift up holy hands as an evening sacrifice to your Lord. Because Scripture commands it. It's not religion. It's not a denomination. It's Bible. It's truth and spirit worship. That's just not the way I am. Well, then get biblical. Get authentic. All right, where do we get to? Why serve? It's not in the Bible. For Jesus Christ himself did not come to be served, but to serve. Go into all the world. Serve. It's all in the Bible. Here we go now. This was the big one. Why y'all do Wednesday night? Because the Bible says that the fivefold ministry's job, he's given some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 says this. And then it goes on and says that they may equip the saints to do the work of ministry. Because Wednesday night is more of an equipping time than it is a preaching time. And if you come on Wednesday, you go through freedom or you go through bait of Satan right now and you learn not to be offended at this sermon. But when you don't know, you'll fall and you'll be offended today. I go through freedom, you might get set free. It is an equipping to overcome the hurts, habits, and hangups of the world thrown on you. God forbid you really get set free. You wouldn't even know who you would be anymore. And you would lose your ability to complain and whine and gripe about everything. Make sure you don't get rid of that, because that's your identity. Hang on to that. Why should I witness? Because the Bible says for us to give a witness, to testify about what the Lord has done. Go and tell people. It's in the Bible. Why wouldn't you? Why tithe and give? It's in the Bible. Well, it ain't in the New Testament. Know your Bible, it is. I got a whole, the very first one I preached back in 2003, I think, was when I preached the message that brought it in, showed you how it come from the Old Testament straight into the New Testament. And the Bible says, give to those who need are in need. And if you want to be blessed financially, you do what the financial plan of God is. All right, about to wind this up. Come on. Why in the world would I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues and shout and dance for God? Because it's in the Bible. Amen. See, you've made it about man's denomination and man's religion. And throw all that junk out. You go with what's in the Bible, and you will seek his baptism of every baptism, the baptism of your water baptism, the baptism of the Father's love, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you will embrace everything the Bible says any Christian could have. Because if I come up here today and told you, I'll give you a dollar, and you, if you'll just come up, I'll get, no, don't rush up here. I ain't got no money with me. I should have brought some money. But if I had a dollar in my pocket and I said, anybody wants this can come get it, you would come get that dollar, wouldn't you? And if I said, if I have $100, anybody wants it, come get it, people would be rushing up here. Well, God says, I've got salvation. I've got baptism. There's a baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's a gift of discernment. There's a gift of tongues. There's a gift of healing. There's a gift of prophecy. I don't want none of that, Lord. But yet you'd come take any other kind of gift. Why are we not seeking and operating in the gifts of the Spirit? Because we've allowed man to take them out and make them something God never intended them to be. They never were meant to be a religion. They never were meant to be a denomination. They're gifts from the Father to his children. And they're all to be operated in. For his glory, not ours. Just plain and simple. Again, know your Bible. I'm not one of them tongue talkers. Why not? I'll wait. Because not a single one of you can give me any excuse about why not. Because you know. You may not understand it, but you know it's in there. I love you. There's benefits to doing an authentic Christian life. And it's not just heaven, but it's heaven on earth. Yes. It's his presence. It's his glory. It's his characters and attributes. You get to shine before a world. And while every one of us is still flawed, when we surrender our why nots and we just start operating, I'm telling you, your life will be radically changed. And it'll start making a difference around you, which what your Christian life is supposed to be about is making a difference around the people that you're around. Got just a few more scriptures I want to give you real quickly to kind of drive this home. John chapter 3, verse 3, the words of Jesus Christ himself. Jesus answered and said, most surely I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you understand there is no other way? You understand that today? No excuse. Matter of fact, let me read you what Jesus told them when they was asking about what's going to happen here, what's going to happen here. John chapter 14, verse 5 and 6. Thomas, the disciple, said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going or how we can know the way. He's wanting to know the way to the kingdom. Jesus answered and says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And I know you know this one, but you need to know you know. And finish it up with me. And no one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus. You cannot just cry out on your own. You've got to receive what Jesus Christ has done on Calvary's cross, what he did in the grave, what he did conquer death, hell, in the grave, what he did in his resurrection. You get to the Father through Jesus. You don't get there through Buddha. You don't get there through Muhammad. You don't get there through Hare Krishna. You don't get through there through bad juju. It is Jesus, always has been and always will be. Nothing else but the blood. And you know this. And yet many still say, but no. Let me give you one more question. Put it up. Put up the next and last note. Why not here? Why not now? And you know what will come over this place? If you're sincere, nothing will come over this place, because there's no excuse for why not here, why not now. Oh, and when I get this right, I'll come to Christ. You ain't going to get that right. You got to have Christ to get that right. Oh, when I get a little more of this, it's always something else that has to be done before you'll surrender your life. Oh, maybe when I get away from my friends and quit. And when you ask these two simple questions, it takes all your excuses away, doesn't it? Why not here, right now? Why not? Well, I'm already saved. Saved, attend church, baptized, a life group, prayer person, worship person, lifting up the holy hand, serving Wednesday evenings, freedom, witness, tithing, giving, baptizing the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues, shout, dance before God. Are you all of that? Because if you're not, there's more. And you know it. And that's not all of it. There's so much more. So what's your excuse before you leave today to tell God? You ain't telling me no. You're telling him no. So let me give you the last one. Stand up. You need to stand for this reading of the scripture. Some of y'all didn't know this was in your Bible. Look at Acts chapter 22, verse 16. What are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and have your sins washed away by calling on the name of the Lord. What are you waiting for? Get up. Get baptized. Get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Get your prayer language. Get your healing. Get your deliverance. Get your freedom. Get your serving on. Get your gifts in order. Get your wisdom and knowledge in the Bible and the Word of God. What are you waiting on? Because there's death in delay. And I want to close with this. You may be saying, well, I got most of that list checked off. Well, do other people know it? Because the checklist isn't for your life. It's to affect others' lives. Your anointing is not for you. Shanda. Your anointing's not for you. Oh, I'm anointed. Oh, I'm anointed. What good does that do if nobody can get anything off of it? Your anointing, your gifts, everything God has given you is to share with other people that they may come to the knowledge of Christ. That they may see someone who's living an authentic Christian life and be drawn to Christ through that. You don't have to carry the 10-pound Scofield Bible and beat people over the head and tell them they're going to hell. They already know it. You need to share the good news of Jesus Christ. You need to be the person that says, ma'am and sir. You need to be the person that holds the door open and lets somebody go ahead of you. Simple acts of kindness reflect Jesus more than words sometimes. You need to serve with excellence. Bow your heads. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ, why not? And you have no excuse. And the number one answer is, well, I just really don't know what all is involved. I don't know enough. You know that there's a God, because there's a creation. And you know, probably no sitting here today in the South, you know that Jesus is his son, and Jesus died to pay the debt for your sins, because you cannot pay it yourself. And you've got all the excuses in the world, but they will not stand on the day of judgment. And you don't know if you've got your next breath today or tomorrow. I hope you got a lot, but you just don't know. Somewhere there's a funeral going on right now of all ages, from in the womb to out of the womb. So I'm asking you this morning, with no strings attached, you will not join church today. You will not get into a religion today. You will surrender your life to the only one that can get you into heaven, because you love him, not because of just the heaven, but because you're in love with Jesus Christ, and he will forgive your sins, and he will wash you white as snow. And he'll give you a life on earth that means something and has purpose. And if that's you today, with no strings attached, just lift your hands today and say, I'm here and I'm here now for this, for Jesus Christ. Anyone, just lift your hand. Right there, right there, right there. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Four hands so far. Today's your day. Today is your day. This is a day the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. Thank you, Lord. Would there be anybody else? Just slip that hand up right where you're at. We have a saying in church. We got another one over here? Come on, right there. Yeah. Yeah. Right there. Right there. Yeah. Right back there. Another one. 5, 6, 7. Yeah. 8, right there. Why not here? Why not now? Anyone else? Wow. Shonda. I think that's a total of 9 right now. Thank you, Lord. Let me tell you something. When you've raised that hand, you're saying yes to everything. And it doesn't come all at one time. Your salvation does. But the rest of your life, you'll be growing. I walked the aisle at the age of 16 years old. And I'm 57 years young right now. And I'm still growing. And I haven't gotten over getting saved yet. So walk in courage. Walk it out loud. Don't be ashamed of the gospel you just got. It cost Jesus his life for you to have what you just got. Your next step is baptism. Now, we offer it once a month, but if you said, I want to do next week, we'll be back here next week doing it. I don't care. But if we do it on schedule at the first of the month, but if you don't have to wait if you don't want to. We do that sometimes where people can invite their family and friends and get them in for that. Thank you, Father. That's people who needed to get saved. Now I want to talk to the people who are saved, but you can't tell it. Your friends don't really know it. Your job and your classmates have no idea. And some of you, thank you, Lord. Some of you have been teeter-tottering on this baptism of the Holy Spirit thing for a while now. You want to believe in it, but because of all the stuff church has made it that it's not, I understand your reservation about it. And I would just encourage you, say, God, I want what's real from you. God, I just want it. And if you want me to have it, I'm going to serve you in it. And Lord, if I'm still in the way of it, and I'm just, because the worst thing that was keeping me from being fully baptized in the Holy Spirit was me. Not understanding it, not knowing, seeing a bunch of crazy people. And I said, Lord, if you give it to me, I'll operate in it. And Lord, if I don't get it because I can't break through myself, I know you want me to have it. I've already studied. I know you want every believer to have it. And it's not just for sha-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Cranky engine, bless God. Choke it and give it a little more gas. It's for the edification. It's for prayer time. It's for power. It's for worship. But Lord, if I can't get me out of the way, I'm still going to serve you the rest of my life faithfully. When I quit worrying about it and quit trying to process it, that's when it came about a week or two later and just flooded over my very being. And then it scared me. Can't you understand me? It scared me because nobody in the